Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, it's Sprague here. Really appreciate you listening. You're about to get some podcast excellence. It's presented by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
That's what Maryland does.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Are you a big man? Pop, I'm talking to you.
What?
You wake up in the morning, you start putting on my big boy pants. You put on a little jacket, you go. You take your lunch because you got big boy pants on.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
I can say big loud things. I can be demonstrative. This is how you conduct yourself in a democracy.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
We want to look to the future. We've got to tear down the past. Babe Ruth was nothing more than a fat old man with little girl legs.
The Fan.
All right, welcome in. Final hour, Dirt and Sprague with you here on Portland Sports Leader 1080, The Fan.
Sizzler.
We have a lot to get to here in the final hour.
Absolutely.
Crawford has a dilemma. Philly fans are crying. I still want to get to something the NFL should really be concerned about.
I want to play that clip of Colin Cowherd earlier today.
We can play the clip of Colin Cowherd, and we may get to the clip of Mike Mitchell. There's a lot to get to here in the final
hour. Wow.
But.
Loaded show.
It has been a loaded show. There's been a lot of topics. I wanted to start the final hour with this. This came via our friend Bruce Feldman of SportsIllustrated.com. He tweeted just over an hour ago, Oregon expected to give Marcus Arroyo, the new offensive coordinator for the Oregon Ducks, a three-year contract. For those that aren't as familiar, Arroyo was with Oregon last year as a co-OC slash quarterback coach. Willie Taggart was the one that called plays. Prior to Oregon, he was at Oklahoma State for a season, Tampa Bay, Buccaneers, Southern Miss, California, Wyoming, San Jose State, Prairie View A&M, and San Jose State, where he was a quarterback from 98 to 02. So he went from quarterback to right into coaching as a graduate, undergrad assistant at San Jose State. So that's his kind of background. No real surprise here. The deal was expected to be announced at some point. We knew they were going to renegotiate and figure things out because, well, we heard the press conference from Mario Cristobal and his introductory press conference and what he's looking forward to. And he named in the press conference Marcus Arroyo, the OC, the official offensive coordinator who will be calling the plays. This is kind of a cool tidbit. Arroyo is only 37, so you have a young, up-and-coming coach still, a guy looking to prove himself. And our friend Justin Hopkins, who is scheduled to be on tomorrow, he's one that tweeted that Arroyo expect with him as the OC to open it up more in the passing game. And I think when you have a quarterback like Justin Herbert, that's a pretty exciting idea. And so now we get to see at least some continuity, not only with Cristobal kept on. And I brought up, you know, the concerns or question marks you should have about him as your head coach Friday. But you get continuity with him still. And now you get Marcus Arroyo, who was co-OC, learned or understood Willie Taggart's system, which I didn't think was horrible. And he gets to add in his own version of that playbook. So he was also interim play caller during Jeff Tedford's absence with the Bucs in the NFL. So when Tedford left the Bucs a couple years ago, remember he was the OC there, he filled in the blanks there and was kind of the play caller for them. So good news continuing, I think, for a lot of Duck fans out there that want continuity, want the same faces around campus, want to try to keep a staff intact and together. We still don't know about Jim Leavitt. I think we'll find that out after the bowl game, as we will some of these other guys. But it sounds like, for the most part, Marcus Arroyo is going to keep his offensive coordinator title. He will be the play caller for the Oregon Ducks with Justin Herbert coming back. And again, maybe a guy that looks to add some more wrinkles in the passing game, which is pretty exciting if you ask me, when you have a quarterback like Justin Herbert.
Yeah, if I'm a Duck fan, I'm happy because I think as good as Willie Taggart was in his 1 year there, it was his staff that was equally as good. And I think that a lot of the excitement about him, even before last season started, was the staff that he brought in. Or I guess I should still say this season, you know, because they still have another game left. But I think that that was the excitement, at least for me as an outsider, not a Duck fan, looking at the staff. That's when I was like, oh, man, the Ducks are going to be good. Like, this staff is dynamite, which they were and they are. So I think if I'm a Duck fan, I'm excited about this, like you used the word continuity, keeping that there despite Coach Taggart's departure, to have Cristobal still there, Arroyo, and some of the other guys, Hayward most likely, and Joe Salvea. I don't know, are they confirmed that they're returning?
We haven't, I haven't heard many names. I think this is something that a guy like Hopkins or Nimick, who is on our station, those are something like all those kind of guys can tell us more and more information on that. I think some of this is a wait and see. For obviously, you got a bowl game, and some of these guys have to wait till after the bowl game. I don't know. A lot of this is hearsay and speculative, but depending on who stays, who goes, the one thing we do know for sure, he is now going to be running this offense. And somebody says, I didn't think he was calling the plays. That was Willie. Yeah, that's what I was saying. Was Willie Taggart was calling the plays? Those guys were title, just with title, like Willie Taggart. And I thought this was brilliant when he did it. You want to recruit to Oregon because that's obviously like the number one thing you need to do to get this program back where you want it. What does he do? Well, he attracts one of, if not the premier recruiters in the country, Amaro Cristobal, and he brings him to Eugene with, hey, you know what you're doing and how amazing you are at it. Come be with me and I give you the title. Because you got to remember, at Alabama, Cristobal was passed over as an OC. I don't know if he really wanted it. Maybe he did, maybe he didn't. But at least on the outside, he came here, got the OC. It was looked at as he was passed out at Alabama for that. So he comes to Eugene, gets the title. The title helps for obvious reasons. And him and Arroyo both named co-OC, even though Willie Taggart was the one calling plays. So we'll see, man. I really wonder what the offense is going to be like. If you open up things more for Herbert, I think that's a good thing. Obviously, they're still going to do what they want to do on the ground. And we'll see if that's going to translate for them next year. It's a very interesting season because next, your schedule, pretty easy. I think it's pretty welcoming for a new staff, regardless if agree, disagree, meh on the hire. I think the schedule is going to help them have a good season and maybe help build things up for them. But the other thing that I took note of Friday, because the press conference aired after we got off the air, it was at 4:00 on Friday. I got home, I listened to most of the press conference here on The Fan, and then I was listening to primetime, and then I got home, and Crawford, as soon as I get out of my car, I have to fully admit this, no shame in it, I'm a big Fast and Furious fan, I love the franchise.
I know you do.
I mean, I'm just the kind of guy that there's bad movies from here and there, and I'm into some of them. I got out of my car, I checked Twitter, what do I see? One of my favorite celebrities.
Oh, I had the exact same feeling.
The Rock.
Yeah, I know, The Rock. Tweeting his endorsement of Mario Cristobal. I saw that. I saw what you retweeted, a pang of jealousy.
Oh, dude.
I agree.
You can't be a Beaver. Look, maybe you hate The Rock. That's fine.
You're an idiot.
Well, that's okay.
Sorry.
But if you like The Rock, and I think a lot of people do, he's a likable guy. And
I like The Rock a lot.
The wrestling stuff, the acting, the personality, I think it all comes through. He does a really good job at it. The motivational stuff.
Social media posts.
You can't help but be jealous of that kind of endorsement. Even if that doesn't mean anything X's and O's wise, because, well, The Rock hasn't been around football really since he played. Even if it means nothing on the field, just having a celebrity like that quote tweet your university and say they made the right choice. What an incredible dude. He's a hard worker, etc. You can't help but see that and be like, damn it. Really?
No, I know. I had the same. I saw it and I was like,
that's
damn.
I'm jealous of that endorsement.
Well, because, yeah, certain big programs have those cool celebrity tie-ins like Matthew McConaughey and University of Texas. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
USC's got Will Ferrell and a bunch of other people.
USC has Will Ferrell and Snoop Dogg. That one I'm jealous of.
Yeah.
You're right about Texas. They get McConaughey sometimes will come to practice and just give speeches.
A little speech.
And you know what upsets me the most about those? Not that like Matthew McConaughey is somebody that I'm dying to meet, but how many of those kids don't even realize really anything about him?
Yeah, perhaps. I don't know, man. McConaughey's everywhere. He's a superstar.
He is.
I don't know. I feel you on that.
I need you to become a celebrity. You could be Oregon State's.
I want to be the Matthew McConaughey of Oregon State because The Beavers don't have one.
We could have one, and I think we could even win, but that individual chooses not to be more involved.
Who?
Sarah Jean Underwood.
Oh, yeah.
Could easily take the title.
I don't know, man. I think The Rock's cooler.
Right. It could be like our Mia Khalifa.
Yeah, yeah, I see what you're saying.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah, we got
that. Oh, yeah, Florida State has adult actress Mia Khalifa.
Dude. Some of the players go in her DMs and stuff.
Yeah, and then she outs them. Yeah.
All right, so there's the news for Oregon. We know at least one assistant, 100% certain, that Mario Cristobal is going to be calling the plays for the Oregon Ducks next year. Or not Mario Cristobal, Marcus Arroyo, excuse me, is going to be calling the plays for the Oregon Ducks, as Mario Cristobal announced that at the press conference. Somebody texted this in and said, you could do worse than learning under Tedford and Gundy. Absolutely. I think you're 100% dead on there. Those are great offensive minds. Somebody else says, Bartu, pissed that Oregon is going next man up with coordinators now, especially with unproven head coach. And this listener says, I quite enjoy that. Yeah. I think for the people out there that hate it, this is going to go one way or the other, right? You're either wrong or you're right, and we'll find out. If Dave Bartu does not like the hire, we'll see if he's right or wrong in the coming years. So there you go, Oregon Ducks. They keep some continuity as Arroyo will be calling the plays. All right, let's get to Crawford's big dilemma, which I know about, and I'm going to find very interesting of people and how they perceive this at the Bridgeport Beers text line. You need to help Alex Crawford here with a serious life problem. Next on The Fan.
We were born before the wind.
This also is Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
Yeah, 218 on The Fan. Welcome back in. Hope you're enjoying your Monday afternoon. We still got, what was I going to get to? Mike Mitchell? No, Tom Savage. Did anybody else see this? We'll talk about this here in like 10 minutes.
I think everyone except for Bill O'Brien saw it.
Pretty sure Tom Savage had a seizure during the game on the field. We'll talk about that. That was very scary to watch, to see. So we'll talk about that in 10 minutes. But Alex Crawford, I knew about this, I think, before you did. You're facing a little bit of a life dilemma. Not a big life dilemma, but a dilemma nonetheless of a decision you have to make. And I, quite frankly, when I heard about it, I got a laugh because it's so you. And I don't know if it's as cut and dry as a yes or no answer here. Would you like to tell the individuals? Or you like me to tell the individuals?
I'll tell, and you can chime in because you know this too.
Okay.
But I was, you know me, I like to wear wacky clothing sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whatever. Got best dressed in high school. So.
You are Marshawn Lynch jersey in Buffalo.
Yeah, sure.
What other? You have weird things too.
I've got a lot of great jerseys. I got a great Michael Vick white
Michael
Falcons
Vick,
jersey.
White Falcons, yeah.
Got a Wes Welker Pro Bowl jersey. I got a Larry Fitz Pro Bowl jersey.
You have a Cam Cleland jersey from China.
No, I gave that to
Dusty. Oh, yeah, you gave
Dusty,
it as a gift, but still.
For Christmas,
that's
yeah.
Right, Dusty, yeah.
Yeah. I got some great jerseys.
Yes.
My friend who works for USC football, we'll call him the USC mayor, and I used to be a USC hater growing up in Southern California, but because my really good friend works for the football program, I'll support my friend and I'll support his success. And the success of the team directly is his success, you know, so I'll support that, right? So I've become a bit of a Trojan supporter in recent years. He said, you know, thanks for supporting the team as I've been there and blah, blah, blah. I think I got to get you some Trojans gear, deck you out in some Trojans gear to you know, for you to rep when you do support the team. And I was like, well, I never want to rep the Trojans, but like, what do you got? So he sends me a picture of a O.J. Simpson throwback USC jersey. And I said, he goes, if I bought this for you, would you wear it? And I said, oh, hell yeah, dude. And then he immediately responds, cool, just bought it. You'll get it soon. And I'm like,
And you instantly go, why did I react
yeah,
the way I
just
reacted?
Because you know when someone proposes a theoretical, like, would you do this? And you're like, sure, yeah. I didn't think he was actually going to buy me the jersey.
Okay.
And just to be said, I told my dad about this dilemma, and he goes, well, USC doesn't have the names on the back, so you could just wear 32. I go, no. He made sure the one he got me says Simpson 32.
Oh, we got you a custom Simpson one?
Yeah, like it says Simpson, so like, well, if there was any qualms or questions.
No, see, here's the thing. His jersey's still in the Coliseum, so 32 can't be worn, right?
Yeah,
it's retired.
That's a good point.
So everybody would see 32 and go,
just
that's
in case, like, the average person who wasn't a USC fan saw.
Right. But person that sports fan sees it, what is their initial reaction? Oh, whoa, he's wearing an OJ jersey. Here's my thing. I think anytime somebody asks you a hypothetical or a would you, you always think in the terms of this probably is going to happen. Because I've learned valuable lessons going the route you went. Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. And I little things, gifts, but little things from family. Hey, you would like this, right? Yeah, sure. And they, lo and behold, that's what they got me. So I think you always have to think of it in terms of, wait, this is going to happen. And then you need to answer it. So it sounds cool in theory, and then you realize you got it, and you're basically expected to rock it. That's it's on you.
Yeah, so here's the thing, though, is I'm leaning towards wearing it for the right occasion.
What's the right occasion?
A USC game, if I attend.
When they play, like, a lower-level team that they're going to kill?
I see what you did there.
Mm.
I don't have any SC. Okay.
There's got to be an awkward feeling out there, right? Texas and Bridgeport Beer, text line 55535. Is that awkward to wear an O.J. Simpson jersey? It's got to feel awkward, right?
Well, okay, here's one take. Here's a take.
I don't think I could do it, so even as a joke.
He's a murderer, right?
Well.
But technically, in the thing that we designed in our society.
He is innocent.
To determine his guilt, he was determined to be innocent.
Yeah.
Then, for other crimes.
But then he kidnapped somebody.
For other crimes later.
Mm-hmm.
He did go to prison and serve the time that we as a society asked him to serve, and he is now free and supposedly rehabilitated. So what more can you ask of the guy? That's one take.
Somebody said the right occasion is a murder mystery party.
Oh, there you go. Second take, in 1967-68, when he won Heisman trophies, when he played against Oregon State in the game that inspired my film Legend of the Giant Killers,
yeah,
he didn't commit any murders then. He was that was a different OJ. In fact, some people say
that was pre-CTE.
Exactly.
That's what people say.
That was like 25 years between that and the alleged murders.
That was good guy OJ is what you're saying. That's what you're trying to convey. Somebody else texting in Bridgeport Beer's text line. Let me see this one. Give me just a second. Oh my gosh, I have the Bills OJ jersey, wore it while meeting a buddy at an LO bar. Let's just say I wasn't wearing it by the end of the night. You get a lot of the looks, and you're not going to get it from everybody, but is that awkward, oh my God, that is an OJ jersey from the people that are sports fans?
Here's my thing, right? Who cares enough, right? Like, why would, like, someone texts in and he'll get his ass kicked wearing that. Who cares that much? Who cares that much about what I'm wearing, you know?
Somebody else told you to don't be a certain word, just wear it.
Well, I'm going to wear it because I'm also a guy that likes to do things to see people's reactions, you know?
Yeah, you like people to look at you.
I like a shock
value. You like
value.
Attention.
Sure.
Somebody says, if I buy you an Aaron Hernandez jersey, will you wear it?
See, I don't like Aaron Hernandez.
Convicted murderer.
Convicted murderer.
Double murder.
And... see, I'm not saying I like OJ, but I am saying that in 1967, he was just a college football player who was really good. And by a lot of accounts, a good guy back then. People change, you know?
Well, okay, but I would say pump the brakes on the all accounts thing. Even in the midst of thing, he had friends that were saying, dude, like Al Michaels has talked about this on countless Stern interviews and other platforms. Al Michaels would have never thought in his wildest dreams that that would happen.
Yeah.
Like people that knew OJ, hung out with OJ, played golf with OJ, played tennis with OJ, did all that stuff with OJ. Most of them tell you, yeah, I didn't see that coming. Murder two people.
By the way, he definitely did it.
I mean,
I'm just saying
the club don't fit.
I don't know. I'll definitely wear it for the right occasion. There's a lot of questions about what that occasion is.
We've seen, I don't know what the, maybe Halloween?
I went to a sports bar and they had like, on the wall, they had framed like an OJ jersey, a Michael Vick jersey, a Lance Armstrong cycling jersey. and like kind of like associated disgraced athletes. I thought that was funny.
So I'm looking right now. I want to see how much this costs, because here's your other problem. If your buddy spent a good amount of money on this,
it's like I owe it to him to wear it.
Is it like a legit USC color one?
Yeah, it's like the Cardinal with the gold trim.
So this is probably this could be a $40 jersey. There's one I'm seeing online for $40. Not that that's a ton of money, but you just wonder how obligated are you to wear it more than just like a one-off.
Well, I'm not going to wear it all the time.
No, like, I know. No matter,
it's not going to become like my weekly wardrobe to work.
If you only wear it at a Halloween party, do you feel bad?
No, but like, okay, when I go home for Christmas, we're having like an unofficial kind of high school reunion gathering of friends. I might wear it to that with the buds.
God, it would be great if you weren't allowed in. You go to like the Goat Hill Tavern, you're like, not allowed
nope.
in.
Nope.
Yeah, we're not going to allow that. I'm sorry. I think this is just on you. You should have thought like, because I know who he is, and I don't even know him as long as you, but just having spent time with him and then also knowing who you are, I would have told you instantly with that text that he's probably going to buy this.
I mean, but I'm not mad that he did. Like,
I'm not telling you to be mad at him.
No,
you're in this situation because of you, not him.
I will wear it. I just don't feel 100% great about it.
Can you just wear it while you're on Dusty and Cam so we can see this?
Maybe.
Okay.
I don't have it in my possession yet. I haven't picked it up from him.
Well, when you get it, I think people are going to be interested to see it. Nonetheless. So there we go. Alex Crawford. Was your dad disappointed? Your dad's a pretty cool guy, but is there a point for him and stuff like that where he's like...
No, my dad gets a kick. He laughed. He was like, oh, I can't wait to see what people say to you.
Okay.
He likes the entertainment value of it as well. And then I asked another guy, a friend's uncle, who's a legit guy, a good sports fan. He goes, is that even a question? You wear that jersey. OJ's one of the all-time greats. I'm like, okay, yeah. He goes, that's a football player, OJ. That's not person, OJ.
Fight on, baby.
So there you go.
There we go. It's Alex Crawford's predicament right now. He's going to get an OJ Simpson USC jersey, and does he wear it? Does he not wear it?
By the way, people wear, as these texters point out, people wear Ray Lewis jerseys in the thousands to Ravens games.
People wore Ray Rice jerseys the first game after the video was released. Think about that one. That, I mean, people do this all the time.
Ray Rice is on TV, or it's not Ray Rice, Ray Lewis is on TV talking about how guys should be more stand-up individuals.
Yeah, he gets endorsed by national media members, and we act like he wasn't involved in anything suspicious. So I guess you're okay then, my man. All right. Did anybody else notice that Tom Savage probably had a seizure? This was scary stuff. We'll talk about that next, but first Crawford with the sports update.
This is Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
Pretty mixed, I'd say, at the Bridgeport Beers text line of people saying, wear it, don't wear it. Couple USC people.
It's pretty split, man.
It is. But I think the people saying yes, I think there's a portion of them that are doing it just because it's you.
Yeah. They wouldn't want to do it, but they want to see me do it.
Gotta be so Portland if you wore it, went to a bar, and like a fourth cousin of Ron Goldman's was there.
I'll definitely won't wear it. I'm not going to go somewhere solo. Like, I'll go with a crew to have my back.
The Simpson boys?
You know, I'd like to get a sit-down interview with OJ.
Do you guys just do, like, the fight-on piece thing they do and just up and down, back and forth?
You know, in at one game, I don't know when it was, Stanford played USC, and Stanford did. You know, their marching band is infamous for various funny activities.
Yeah.
And I don't know when this game was, but they said, and now a tribute to famous alumni from both schools, and they formed a knife on the field. I think they got in a lot of trouble for that.
I think I remember
that. But that was pre-social media days. Could you imagine that now?
Oh,
they'd probably be disbanded.
Yeah, they for sure would be.
Pun intended.
All right. I don't know. I got perfect timing on this yesterday with the Red Zone Channel. They went to San Francisco and Houston. And Jimmy G, undefeated as a starting quarterback, still in his career. And they're at Houston, and Tom Savage takes just a shot from Elvis Dumervil. And he falls to the ground, and his head had slammed onto the ground. And they zoomed in on him, And when you looked, his eyes appeared, at least on my TV, it looked like his eyes had rolled into the back of his head. And his arms, he was on his side, and his arms were sticking straight out, and they started shaking. Like, it almost looked like a seizure moment. It was terrifying. And you knew instantly, all right, he's got to go to concussion protocol. He probably shouldn't even come back. The ref is right there on the field, comes up the side, sees everything, signals him. He goes to the sideline. Well, the team doctor for the Houston Texans looks him over. He comes back, and then he eventually leaves again with a concussion. They've already announced that T.J. Yates is going to be the starting quarterback for the Houston Texans this weekend. Here's Bill O'Brien and his thoughts on how they handled the concussion protocol.
He got hit on that one play in the end zone, I think, or, you know, backed up in our end. And, you know, obviously the spotter wanted him evaluated. We evaluated him at that time, made the determination to put him, that he was okay. Not me, you know, obviously the evaluators made a determination to put him back in the game. And, you know, then he went back in the game and he came out and they evaluated him a little bit more just because of what they saw.
Yeah, so, you know, it's not his call. It's the doctors. They got to evaluate. He goes through protocol and they're supposed to make the right decision. My thing on seeing this is that kind of reaction and that kind of hit and everything that transpired, that is frightening. To see that stuff on your TV and, you know, maybe it's not a seizure. Somebody saying it's a recourse or it's something that follows a concussion. To see that, yeah, fencing response is what this individual is saying at the Bridgeport Beers text line. Even if it's not a seizure, whatever it is, to watch somebody's arms involuntarily shake and their eyes are rolled into the back of their head after a major hit like that, there's a weird feeling attached to that. At least there is for me as a sports fan. Now, some people out there have no emotional response to any of these brutal hits, whether that's legs, neck, head, whatever. They just sit there and like, eh, whatever. But I think the NFL needs to be very careful with this. They've already flubbed this a couple times. You know, Jacoby Brissett had a game where his head clearly slammed on the ground. He got up. He was really woozy. And he still played. We've seen this now with Savage. I think this is the second time this has happened with Tom Savage. And for him to be able to come back in, it just makes you wonder, are they doing what they're really supposed to be doing? You know, they create the protocol. They create all these measures to make sure they're taking care of these athletes who are voluntarily running out there, making a ton of money, but putting their bodies and their health at stake. They're trying to make all these requirements, and it still feels like teams and players find ways to weasel around it. And it makes me feel uneasy sometimes to watch some of these hits and to watch some of these players come back. It should be up to the official too, by the way. Like, that official was right there looking. Like, at Crawford, if you fell down right now, and you started, your arm started shaking, or I saw you hit like this to you in football at a field somewhere, if I'm right there, you're like, you're not playing. Like, if it's up to me, you're not playing. The official shouldn't allow players like that to come back. I don't care if they pass, you should be done. And it feels like in the NFL, they're trying to make this happen and it doesn't happen. It doesn't happen enough.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that it's also so, like, I personally think that asking the official to do that on the surface makes sense, but I think it's asking them a lot just because they've got so many things going on.
Right, but that official was right there. Like, the lead official was right behind him and stood next to him and saw him shake. If you saw somebody shake on the ground,
like,
with their arms,
which we saw with Savage yesterday, yeah, it did look like he was having a seizure.
What would your response be to somebody that you'd see here in the?
Oh, I would try to get help right away.
That's
what
I'm saying.
I think that football has conditioned. Like, think to be an NFL official, you've been watching and observing and officiating football for a long, long time, right? And it used to be a lot different. So I'm saying it's almost as if I think it's my number one thing, I guess, is on the spotter, and I'm also. I agree with you because
the team deserves the most blame. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I was just asking the officials, if the officials were asked to step in here, A-okay with it.
I just think it's tough because of how these guys have been conditioned and the officials maybe don't want to give someone, you know, don't want to take a player out of the game. They want to put that on the medical staff who's supposed to be there and be non-biased, right? And supposed to be what's doing what's best for the players. I also don't fault Bill O'Brien as much as some people are faulting him because he might not, because today he said, and this is, of course, the answer he's going to say. He said, if I had seen that video, I wouldn't have let him back in. And I think that's reasonable to say, because Bill O'Brien probably didn't see that video right away. When
not
that
from that angle, no.
No, he's there on the sideline coaching, you know, trying to call plays, whatever, whatever. He's relying on these other people who hopefully saw the video or have a video replay. So I get that from Bill O'Brien. He said, there's another quote that we don't have the audio of, but he told the reporter from the Houston Chronicle, he said, my job is just to coach, or I'm just here to coach or whatever. And some people were calling that callous and saying that was a bad move on his part. But I get that from his point of view. He's just trying to coach and win the game. He's relying on these other medical spotters and the personnel to make the right call. And if they don't, then that's the issue.
Yeah, Rich says, what's most frightening about the Savage hit? It looks just like a normal hit. And you don't, again, you don't see this a lot. I don't want to generalize the whole league like this. I think that's way too extreme. But when we start to notice these things more, and then specifically in that instance when the camera sees it, that's when Rich is right. That's a normal hit. That's like a sack on the quarterback. And then that reaction happens. You're like, wow. Even hits like that I've seen my whole life, to see that response from the body and that individual, I don't know. It is scary. It really is to me. And I'm a huge football. I love the NFL. I'm glued to my couch almost every Sunday. I love NFL football. I love college football. But I really do believe the NFL, you know, they're trying to look out for their best interests here in player health and that conversation. You're never going to fully eliminate it unless you just drastically change the league to flag or touch. And that goes in with what the Mike Mitchell audio really is. But I think you need to be a little more proactive here. The league needs to be more proactive, and they need to be beating the drum of, guys, this concussion protocol is somewhat of a joke right now. It needs to improve, and it needs to improve yesterday. Because say what you want, I'm not trying to get extreme here. The NFL is the ratings dominator, even in a year where it's down, the last 2 years. All I'm simply putting is leagues like the NBA, they don't have to deal with this stuff. And so even though it would take a decade to catch up, the NBA is up 33% this year. The NFL ratings continue to go down. Again, in no way saying the NBA is close. They're not close. It's a pretty sizable lead for the NFL. But the one thing I've pointed out, if you're not changing the game from tackle, and why would you? You need to be more progressive in the way you approach and view the future of your sports and your league.
They're never going to get it perfect, though.
No.
Not in football,
they're not. I'm not asking for it to be perfect,
or
but
safe, right
now the protocol is a joke.
Yeah.
It is a joke.
It's never going to be safe, though. It's still always going to be football.
Right. That's the inherent risk of the game. Not saying you're going to change that.
Which we might see the game change so much between now and when our kids maybe play it someday that it might look totally different to us. I don't know.
Maybe it does. Maybe it doesn't. But if you're going to say publicly, we've created a protocol specifically in place for these injuries, and you're seeing time and time again guys that don't get put in protocol and guys that clearly something's not right and they're coming right back in, you're still seeing and finding teams that are getting around it. And I think that's the area the NFL needs to really circle and say, what can we change and how do we change it now? I think that's really important, because some people don't care. That's fine. But other people watch that hit on Savage. They see the reaction on camera and it's like, oh man, it's startling.
I'm a split.
On
part
what?
Of me, just part of me, I mean, I agree with you that they can always be making the concussion protocol better. Part of me just still reacts as that's football. Concussions and head trauma.
Right. Look, I'm not denying that's the inherent risk that you're going to get with the sport. I'm just saying if you're putting a protocol out there, make sure your protocol is right. And I don't think the NFL's they need to do a better job of
sure,
it.
Sure, I agree.
So the Tom Savage hit pretty brutal yesterday against the 49ers. All right, the Blazers starting their road trip off in Golden State. Are they going to continue their losing ways? No Nurkic tonight. And a Monday Night Football game that I'm not sure anybody cares about. Next on The Fan. And I heard him say, nothing's
ever promised tomorrow today. And I heard him say, this is Dirt and Sprague, Guns 1080, The Fan. But we'll find a
way. Isaac and Sue coming up here in 11 minutes. Yeah, there's a couple texts on the Savage stuff. Somebody says, case in point, Russell Wilson from the Thursday night game, blatant disregard for his health. He's had a couple of those moments, and I know he had the nano bubbles water stuff. He said it stops concussions.
Yeah, it helps
whatnot.
With concussions, yeah.
But remember the NFC title game when he actually played really poorly against the Packers, the game they came back and won? None of us are doctors, but we can go off what we see and what we've seen before. When he took that hit on that pick and they were returning it, I'm pretty sure he got messed up, man. He was woozy. He was, staggering off the field. He just wasn't right after that hit. I mean, we've seen this before. Somebody else saying it's funny Bill O'Brien is claiming not seeing it. He calls the offensive play, so how did he not? The play Savage got hurt on does not make sense to me. Somebody said his head hit the ground. Absolutely, it did. And then somebody else says, let me see. Gator fan here. When I played, I had the answers to the protocol questions written inside my helmet. I didn't want to miss a snap in my 40s now and wish I had not played through some of those hits. Yeah, I mean, I only played high school. I can't speak on the college or pro level, obviously. But, like, I even remember I started in fifth grade, like, at the lowest level. And then I remember in, like, fifth or sixth grade, I took a hit from a kid. And I remember that was the first time I ever saw stars. I got lit up, head slammed against the ground, saw these stars in front of me. I was woozy for, like, 5 minutes, and then I was okay. So, look, that's at obviously a much smaller level, but these guys, clearly, they're taking hits almost every play, no matter what. That just leave you kind of grimacing a little bit. But hey, the Blazers start a road trip, Crawford, down in the Yay area against the Golden State Warriors, who will be without Steph Curry. I was going to say Kevin Durant. Or without Steph Curry. And there's going to be no Yusuf Nurkic and no Mo Harkless. And right now, the Blazers are just a mess. They've lost four straight. Your former boy, Chris Paul, came to town. Houston was down double digits for a long time. And then ultimately, Houston did what Houston does.
Yeah, see, I was sitting there and I thought that was a game that the Blazers were going to win. But then I saw you tweet something and you said you sat back with your glass of whiskey and...
I sat back with a cocktail, and it was funny because I also have Twitter on, but I don't tweet a lot during games.
You said you just kind of expect... You said you sat back, I believe, and expected that to happen the way it did?
Well, it was odd because they went up double digits in the second half, but like early in that game, it was tied. If not, the Rockets were always fighting back and being down two. And you think back, Houston didn't play a particularly great game. In Portland, I felt like we're playing their best possible game without Yusuf Nurkic, and they were barely beating them. It just felt like they needed one quarter to get right, and they did in the fourth quarter. So Portland's lost four straight now, and I don't know. We've been saying it on this show that there's a weird vibe with this team. And CJ McCollum, I talked to Dan Morang earlier. I would just say with CJ, stats don't tell it, but I think if you watch him, CJ has sometimes this attitude or vibe about him that he's not engaged. And this is just like a watching on TV feel where some nights, and it hasn't been often, but there have been some nights where you're like, does CJ care that there's a game tonight? There's been a couple times this year, and I hadn't seen that before, minus the game four last year against Golden State. So we'll see. Maybe they come out tonight with the same energy. They keep it close against Golden State. I just think that's kind of who Portland is. They're either losing to teams they shouldn't, or they come out with the right energy and maybe they get a win here or there, or maybe they take a lead and then ultimately they lose to teams like the Golden State Warriors. So we'll see. 7:30 tip.
I think they're going to lose tonight.
Allow
me to put on my Captain Obvious sailor cap here. And I think they will lose in Oracle Arena.
Yeah. Do you care about Monday Night Football? Does anybody care?
I don't
even know if Pat fan cares about this. They're going to win.
I think the only reason some people care, as a texter pointed out, would be fantasy football reasons.
Are you in the playoffs?
I am in the playoffs.
In our league?
No, in my other league with more money on the line.
Gotcha.
Can I say that?
You have... I would be careful. There was a big sting operation, which is something I want to talk about tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
Did you see this?
I did see that.
Yeah.
But it was a survivor.
Yeah. I'll bring it up tomorrow. Don't spoil my show tomorrow.
I won't be here.
It's fun doing it with you, buddy.
Yeah, that was fun, man. Throwback to my intern days.
Or your second freshman year at KBVR in Corvallis.
Or some of the podcasts we've done.
Absolutely. Thanks to everybody for listening. Good thoughts, good texts, even the disagreements of the Bridgeport Beers text line at 55305. We'll be back tomorrow. Justin Hopkins, I think we have a big, lengthy Phil Steele interview for you. A juicy bowl edition of Phil Steele. Half hour edition tomorrow.
Juicy bowl.
Bring that to you. Justin Hopkins to talk Oregon Ducks. So we'll do that. We got a good show tomorrow. Everybody enjoy the Blazer game. Maybe some Monday night. Or go look at lights or something. All right. That'll do it for us. Primetime is next on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan.
Sizzler.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.